Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
So we're on week number 3 of our series called The Office, Take This Job and Love It. And we're trying to recapture the value of work and reclaim the value of being productive and in hopes of finding a new measure of satisfaction on the job site, regardless of what your job might be. And I realize that after the end of this series, the majority of us are not going to be walking out to our car and think suddenly that, well, I love my job. I never realized it before, but maybe we can kind of move towards this idea of having a more satisfying experience in our jobs. And I realize some of you have bosses that are the offspring of Satan himself, and that kind of harms your idea of what work is all about. And maybe your boss is like, there's a classic movie clip that we're going to show you from Americana history. So if we can bring those lights down, Wayne, if we got that clip ready to run, your boss might be a little something like this.
Corporate accountant. Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, you apparently didn't put one of the new cover sheets on your TPS reports.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot.
Yeah. You see, we're putting the cover sheets on all TPS reports now before they go out.
Did you see the memo about this?
Yeah. Yeah, I have the memo right here. I just forgot. But it's not shipping out till tomorrow, so there's no problem.
Yeah. If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great. And I'll go ahead and make sure you get another copy of that memo. Okay?
Yeah, no, I have the memo. I've got it. It's right.
Hello, Phil.
Anyone have a boss that's something like that, maybe, just a little bit? I had someone who sent me an email saying about his job, and he said that, the good thing is since your series, I've been praying for my boss. And I thought, great, but then 2 lines down it said, praying that he finally gets some brains. So, I mean, at least it's a step in the right direction, and more times than not, I've kind of taken that role with the staff under me and kind of lean in on their door frame, and yeah. Come on, you've all done it. It's like classic American movie at its best. And so we know that satisfaction on the job site is not the norm. Matter of fact, the default mode is dissatisfaction. Gallup told you 2 weeks ago, came out with a poll last year, said 70% of Americans hate their jobs or admit to being completely checked out or disengaged from their work. That means only 30% of us in this room actually go to a job that we say that we like. The poll also learned that regardless of the perks on the job, like TVs in the break room or Xboxes or company picnics, that has very little to do with the bump in overall satisfaction of one's job. It also learned that those who are in upper management, because we always think, well, if I can make more money or be advanced in the company, then I would like my job better. But it showed that those in management only had a slight bump in their overall satisfaction level of their current employment. So it said clearly, regardless if you're blue collar or white collar, the numbers are about the same. 70% of those in the American workforce are not happy with their job. And so we ask the question, with numbers like that spread out across all kinds of employment, is it possible that the problem isn't out there in the American workforce? Is it possible that maybe the problem is in here, that the problem lies within us? And so we've kind of been on this journey together to recalibrate our thinking in regards to work. And last week we talked about some common pitfalls that we fall into that cause us to devalue our jobs, thinking like grunt versus glory, where most of us, we lean towards the glory side of work, that which is clean and highly visible and that feeds your passion and makes you feel good about what you're doing. But the reality of it is, regardless of your job, the majority of it is grunt work. We talked about resting not just from work, but resting to work. In other words, if we're continually rolling in every morning trying to recoup from the weekend, there is no possible way we can give our best effort at the job site. talked about the trap of focusing on projects rather than people and focusing on now rather than the next. And if you missed any of those, I encourage you to take a listen. You can listen to them on our website at revealvineyard.com, or you can subscribe for our podcast. So hopefully over the last 2 weeks, you've taken a slight step back to maybe evaluate yourself, evaluate your workplace habits to see if maybe there's a practice or a way of thinking that is sabotaging your work efforts. And so we're going to continue with Work Smarter Part 2. And so we're going to pray and ask that God would speak to us and pray for our offering as well. So if you would join me as we pray. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to come and to rest upon us strongly right now. God, as we're looking at something that affects the majority of us in this room, regardless of what our job might be, whether at an office or at home raising children or at school studying, it's easy for us to just develop a bad attitude about this part of life that consumes so much of us. So we would ask that you would speak to us very clearly. That Holy Spirit, you would speak to us through your word, and that you would change us and change our attitudes and our hearts and our minds. Holy Spirit, just rest upon us. I pray beyond the message that even more important than that you would close the gap that any of us are feeling right now, or maybe we feel you are distant, or that we've pushed you away because of something that we were involved in or feel that we've done too much or you could not possibly love us. God, I pray that regardless of what we speak about today, that the love of God would be revealed and shown to us. Lord, for the offering received, let it just be about the things of the kingdom. Let us be able to serve those who you place in our midst, both in our community and communities around the world. We pray for the team that's in India right now and serving the poorest among us, and doing a medical mission, that you would watch over them, keep them healthy and protect them and give them great fruit in their task, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, we're going to continue with this series that we've been on, and we're going to jump right into a message that will drive our series today. You'll jump right into a passage that will drive our series. It's found in Colossians 3, where it says this: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Now just let that verse, just look at that for a little bit. Just kind of meditate on it just a bit. Let it kind of sink in. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. And look, if I'm honest, if I let that verse sink in, it can be rather intimidating. So I want you to think on your last week of work, what you did, what you didn't do, how you performed, if you did anything under the radar, if maybe you didn't give the best to your company. Just kind of think through what your last week of work was like. Now imagine that you had a new boss. And his name was Jesus. I want you to just kind of think through that last week. That it wasn't your boss that you cheated or your work that you cheated out of time. If you did, I'm not making assumptions. But that it was your new boss, God himself. And if you're anything like me, that verse is heavy. I mean, that for me to think about this verse in that context, and I begin to internalize it, it's easy for me to think that if I'm not crawling across the finish line at the end of the day, if I'm not gasping for breath when I lie my head down on the pillow, that somehow I didn't do enough and didn't put in a good enough day's work. That I can close out the day feeling like I failed myself, and more than that, that I failed God. Because if we're honest, I mean, none of us really put in a day's work as if Jesus was our boss. I mean, can you imagine if it was Jesus walking around with a coffee cup, asking you about the reports and how that would affect our jobs and the jobs that we do? And so it's easy for me to interpret this verse as if I can never do enough, or that I can work nonstop and in so doing have nothing left to give to anyone else in my life. And so we want to ask the question today: what's the balance? I received a phone call from another member of the church 2 weeks ago after this series. He said, all right, listen, your series was what I needed, and I've kind of taken it, and I've applied it, and I went into work with a new attitude this week, and I valued my job, and I put in a good day's effort, and I was productive, and I was positive, and I used my assets, and I got a ton of work done. And I was like, so what's the problem? And they said, I am exhausted. And how am I supposed to work like that and still be able to have time for my family? And it's a good question. How do we operate at a high level of productivity without allowing it to kill us? How do we know that our company and ensure that our company is getting its money's worth, and more important than that, that our family is as well? And so here's the challenge. The challenge for all of us in this room, regardless of what your job is to be efficient, proficient, and healthy all at the same time. The challenge is to be efficient, that you would achieve maximum productivity, that you're always busy and you're always moving and you're accomplishing a large amount of work in a short period of time. Second challenge is to be proficient, that you are greatly skilled and competent in that which you are doing. You're a master of your field. You're not just producing a lot of work, but you're producing great work. And the third challenge is to be healthy, that you are somehow ensuring sustainability, that you're not just in this for the short run, but that you found a rhythm between work and family, you take time for yourself, you rest when needed to ensure sustainability and moving into the future. And so the question that we ask, is it possible to have all three? Is it possible to have all three? Go ahead and put that image up, please. Is it possible to have all three of those at the same time? Can we be efficient and proficient and healthy all at the same time? That was not the image that I designed there, but all right, we'll see how this works from here. So we can have a grasp on a couple of these, and sometimes I just feel like maybe we think, well, maybe I just need to pick any two. See, because you can have some, you can be efficient, and you can get a lot of work done, and you can be proficient. Is there a next slide there, Wayne? Yeah, slight change in color. Well, just work with me on this. Only the best here, all right? Our budget's way... Okay, so moving along. You can be efficient, that you can get a lot of work done, and you can be proficient, that you can have great work, but maybe you're missing out on the healthy slide. That healthy bar, which used to be a circle, is slightly less blue than the others. And we have a term for that, that if you're efficient and proficient but not healthy, the technical term for that is fried, right? You're burnt out. You're working at 100 miles an hour, but you're not healthy, and at some point, your tank is empty and you're fried. See, the other option for us is that we can be proficient, where you do great work, and you can be healthy. You can be healthy where you found a great rhythm of life, but you're not efficient. And so... That's the wrong slide. I've got to quit looking at the screens because they're freaking me out right now. You can be proficient and healthy, but you're not efficient. So you're doing great work and you're healthy, but your workload is way down here. And there's a term for that as well. It's called unreliable. That when the pressure's on, you're not the person that someone's going to go to in order to get the work done because your work is good, but you don't get a lot done. And your third option is that you can be efficient. You can get a lot of work done, and you can be healthy where you have a good rhythm of life, but your proficiency is down, meaning your quality of work is horrible. Always making mistakes, always costing the company money. And there's a technical term for this as well. It's called fired, right? Because nobody keeps a job when you're efficient and you're healthy, but your proficiency, your work just isn't any good. Reminded of that Seinfeld episode where Kramer kind of was working at that office. He just kind of showed up, and the boss was like, it seems like by these reports, you have no idea what you're doing. Well, that's the proficiency side. You can get a lot done, turn in big stacks of paper, and all of it is wrong. And so we ask the question, how is it that we can embrace all three areas of life? How can we be efficient, proficient, and healthy? Because one thing that we know is that God has not called us to mediocrity. In other words, that to come in at 50% of the way that you've been wired is not what God designed us for. To come in at 50% of our ability is not God's plan for us. Matter of fact, mediocre is made up of two words. The first word is medius, which means middle. And the second word is ochreous, which means rugged or stony mountain. It actually means to stop halfway up the rugged path. For us, it would mean that when things get hard and when things get difficult, that we stop or we turn around or we quit or we pitch camp or we head back down and we say, this is as far as I can go. This is the best that I can do. I can't go any further. And we know that God who put his spirit inside of us, that's never what he's called us to. Now, your level of efficiency and proficiency might be higher than mine. But the idea is that whatever that level is, that God never designed us to stop at 50%. We know that's not what God has called us to. But we also know that burnout is not what God has called us to either. It's a great passage in Proverbs 12 that says this, "He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment." Now, I know this is speaking about, you know, kind of to a farmer on the surface talking about that, but we've all been given dominion over a plot of land, so to speak. Your plot of land might be your job, it might be your stay-at-home parent, it might be your schooling right now, that you've been given dominion over this, and the Bible is true that it says that whoever will work their area of dominion will have abundance, but the one that chases fantasies, the one that settles for mediocre, lacks judgment. I mean, you're not going to achieve all that you should have achieved. And so we've been given this plot of land to have dominion over, and our job, our responsibility is to work the land for a good return, whatever your land might be, to work it to be fruitful and not settle for mediocrity. But the reality of it is it does not happen by accident. So we're going to ask a tough question right now. How are you doing on this equation? How are you doing on the idea of being efficient, proficient, and healthy? And maybe you're here and you think, man, I have all three of those rings sewn up. I am efficient on the job, I'm proficient on the job, and I am healthy, sustainable. And if that's you, you can just leave right now and go catch an early breakfast, right? I'm going to close my eyes. Someone's leaving. I'm joking. All right, so, or maybe you have two. Most of us in this room probably are hitting two. Maybe you're here and you're hitting one. Or maybe you look at that and you think, you know what, I'm not hitting any, which you're probably unemployed right now. I'm just guessing. It might not be the case, but maybe you're not hitting any, and so we want to look at, well, how can we achieve that? What does that equation look like for you? For me, for much of my ministry, I had the efficiency side and the proficiency side, but man, the healthy side was nowhere to be found, especially when I went into ministry at the age of 26, and I hit it hard. I worked the land. I was ambitious and I was dedicated. And I, because it's not like I'm working for God, I literally am working for God, right? And that's not a review that you want to walk into unprepared for. And so, I mean, I worked hard and did whatever was needed and tried to be efficient and proficient. But this idea of healthy, it was nowhere on my radar. But it was okay because it worked well for me while I was young. See, I had this fossilized thinking that made me think that I can do it indefinitely. And those of you that are younger, you have this fossilized thinking that regardless of what life's going to throw at you, that you can keep the pace that you're currently on. But something hit me called the 40s. And the 40s just didn't work for me. Because a 40-year-old typically, and maybe you're different, can't work like a 25-year-old and keep that same pace. And if we're honest, continue to be healthy. And I hate that. I want to function like the 25-year-old me. I want to be able to approach life like a 25-year-old. But my 25-year-old body didn't hurt when it got out of bed like my body does today. Nor did it get up three times in the middle of the night to pee. It's just this weird thing, right? I mean, life has changed. A 25-year-old me could function on 2 hours worth of sleep and get up and be totally fine. 40-plus-year-old, oh my goodness, can't function at all like on 2 hours of sleep. The 25-year-old me would enter into stressful situations. I'd devour it. It was like fuel. And the 45-year-old me goes into stressful situations with a bottle of Tums. It's like life has turned. And honestly, I hit the wall even before I was 40. I hit the wall around 37. And I had to go seek counseling for it, quite honestly, because I was burning the candle at both ends for so long. It was affecting me, and I was efficient and proficient, but there was no health. And sustainability was going down, and those that were close to me, I would tell them that I feel my tank depleting every time it got a little less. Year after year, month after month, I felt it, I knew it, and that's just kind of the way it was for me. And had to seek some counseling, and I thought for a good couple years there, I made great strides to improve, and I was doing things for myself and was looking for sustainability, and I thought life was going well. I think my wife would testify to that, and then everything changed. At 40, we started Reveal, and man, I went back to efficiency and proficiency because there was so much to do. And days off, not patting myself on the back for this, but days off rarely happened. My wife would tell you, ask me, you know, take your day off today. Well, I planned on it, but I found myself working again. Because there's always work to be done. But that's the truth, really, in any situation in life, that there's always a lot to do. And so recently, I had to reapproach this idea of healthy from encouragement from my wife and a coach and some friends that said, you have to reapproach this idea or sustainability will not be able to happen. Because I have to tell you something. I don't want you to be shocked by this, but I have to confess this to you. But I'm not 25 anymore. I know that shocks some of you because I look like a 25-year-old kid, but I'm slightly older. I'm almost 35 now, right? And so that's just the reality. So what does it look like for you? Efficiency, proficiency, and sustainability. How many do you have? If you're catching all three, I applaud you. But listen, most of us are not hitting on all three. So let's talk about four areas that we can develop an infrastructure to support our work. Now listen, with the goal of being efficient, proficient, and healthy. All right, so moving towards that. First thing I would suggest is that you sharpen your focus. Meaning that we live in a period of time where there have never been more demands on our schedules. That we can jump from obligation and obligation, that we can bounce from this thing to that thing without any ebb, without any flow, without any rhythm, and meaning that we can just go nonstop without really pointing in a certain direction. We see this idea of focus in the life of Jesus in Mark 1. We'll put it on the screen. Jesus just got done with a great ministry time. He was healing people, casting out demons. The kingdom of God was being manifest, and look what he says. The evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. I mean, this is the ministry that's taking place, and all of these great things are happening, and you can almost see Jesus checking off his list. Leprosy, got it. Casting out demons, got it. Simon's mother-in-law sick, got it, healed. And you can see this great thing, and then right when all this great momentum was building to a crest, we see Jesus kind of shift gears, and he actually goes away to be alone and to spend some time by himself and pray. And then look what the disciples did, verse 36. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." I mean, here's Jesus trying to get a little bit of time to himself. Mom, you know what this is like. Well, you will do whatever is needed to find a little bit of time. Any room in the house, even the bathroom, at least it's your time. His chubby little fingers being stuck under the door, wiggling, saying, "Mama, come out," right? You know what it's like. Well, this is what Jesus was doing, looking for a little time. And the disciples go on this manhunt to look for him. And they finally find him. And you can almost hear the panic in their voice saying, "Where have you been? Look, everyone's working for you. There is so much great stuff going on back here. Why aren't you here? There's the urgent tasks that need to be taken care of. There's a line of people waiting to see you. This is what we should be doing." And then listen to what Jesus says in verse 38. Jesus replied and said, "Let's go somewhere else." I mean, can you just hear Jesus saying that? Yeah, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to a nearby village because I can preach there also because that's why I've come. Now listen. It's not that there weren't good things to be done there, but he couldn't say yes to everything because he was God, but he was also man in the flesh. And so he was driven by his focus. And what drove him was his primary mission. And maybe we need to learn this rhythm by asking God, what do you have for me today? What does that look like in my work, when I'm going to lunch, when I'm coming home from work, with my family? Because there's plenty of good things, but not all of them can be done at the same time. Look, if anyone could have done it, it was the Son of God. And we even see him operating in this idea of rhythm and ebb and flow and pulling back after giving out and always looking for his focus. And his focus, he said, always comes from what the Father is doing. I love what he said at the end there. He said, this is why I've come. This is my purpose. It's not just, there's good things back here. I know you want to go back here. I know you want to say yes to everything, but really, let's go somewhere else. And maybe we have to ask ourselves that question, what is our focus? And maybe we can't grab the efficiency, proficiency, and healthy because we are about far too much. Maybe God might say that some of that is not what you need to be about. So what is your focus? On the job site, stay-at-home parent, or student? Sharpen your focus. Next thing we need to manage your energy. It's your most vital resource. It makes it easy today because there's so many time management tools to just stack obligation on obligation, meeting upon meeting, keep filling in the time slots on the calendar, because after all, Siri told me that my calendar's free, so I must be able to do it, right? Because Siri would never lie to me. Siri knows my life, she knows my schedule, but here's what I've learned about Siri. She doesn't care if I'm tired. Siri doesn't give a rip about my emotional and mental health. If I say, Siri, schedule an appointment for 4 o'clock, she doesn't care if I have 3 other appointments as long as they don't overlap. Siri's putting it down. And although Siri tells me she loves me, she says that to all the boys. All you have to do is ask, and I have. And so have you, among worse things that you've probably asked, but we're not going into that right now. It's easy to stack meetings and agenda items and then have nothing left at the end of the day because we've not managed our most valuable resource, which is our energy. I think it's why Jesus went to be alone. He had all this emotional, spiritual draining that went on, mental drain that went on, and he said, I need to get away. So, in a vineyard, what are the primary roles of the vine keeper is to regularly prune areas of new fruit off the vine. Now, it's not bad fruit. It's not tasteless fruit. It's good fruit. Nothing wrong with it. Full of flavor. It's healthy. It tastes great. And we might ask, well, why not maximize the use of the vine by taking every piece of fruit available and using it? And here's why. Because the vine keeper knows that it will eventually, the new fruit will eventually begin to steal resources from the older, more mature fruit-bearing parts of the vine. And if the new fruit is just allowed to continue to accumulate more and more and more over time, the entire vine will succumb to mediocrity and stop bearing good fruit. Now listen, hear me. I don't think any of us have any type of struggle in acquiring new fruit. Meaning there's always something new, there's always a new commitment or a new idea or a new opportunity or a new obligation. Everywhere we look, there's more. But typically, we don't go into more with asking ourselves, how is this going to affect the rest of the vine? And if we're not careful, new fruit, new opportunity, heavier schedules will rob resources from the weightier matters of your life until the entire vine, you succumb to mediocrity. It's only a matter of time. There's no possible way that there can be that much energy that is given out to everything. And so here's what this means. Stop committing indiscriminately to everything. Every commitment means you cannot properly fulfill another commitment. And if we want to be effective for the long haul, my suggestion is that we manage our energy, which means on a regular basis we go through our schedules and we prune those things that might be good, hear me, but not for you now. David Allen wrote a book, Getting Things Done, and he has this great thing that maybe we should employ. It's called the Someday Maybe List. And he basically says that there are a lot of things in my life that are great ideas, but they're not great ideas for now. And so he has this someday maybe list, and he writes it down, and every now and then he goes to that list, and when there's time and when he has the energy for it, he goes back. He says, oh yeah, that. I'm going to pick that up, and maybe some of us need to have a someday maybe list. Great idea, but maybe not a great idea for now. Number three, cultivate your stimuli. That means to examine everything that comes into your head. If you want to be efficient, proficient, and move towards healthy, we have to understand, like that term, you are what you eat. I'm currently Freddy's double and fries and cheese. That's what I am right now. But we also are what we take in, meaning what we hear, what we see, what we experience, what we read, what we allow around us. And most of the time, we are less than purposeful about the things that we allow to influence us. And so what we take in, what we experience is how we develop. It affects our growth, affects how we respond to various situations, including our job, and they develop a pattern of thinking. So if you want to know how we can move towards being efficient, proficient, and healthy, there's two parts. First, I would suggest that all of us filter negative influences regarding your job. Hanging around people that are constantly complaining, constantly low achievers, constantly going on about how their boss and they hate this job and this, it's only a matter of time before it has to affect you. So filter your stimuli. Maybe you need to distance yourself from some of those things. Second part on cultivating your stimuli is position yourself to be a lifelong learner. Meaning we all need to be stretched. Now, a recent survey said that most Americans read one book a year. Meanwhile, the Chinese are doing math. All right, moving right along. One book a year. And that's kind of the average. Now look, I'm going to admit to you, I'm not a huge reader, but I force myself to read because I need the ideas. I need to be creatively stretched. I need to have new ideas constantly coming in because I need to manage my stimuli. I need to have new ideas or I will just settle and become dead in my thinking. And so let me just propose to us that maybe we need to engage in that. Maybe you need some people around your life that will push you on some of the things that you hold as sacred cows, and maybe somebody needs to push against them a little bit. You may not agree with them, you may not even like what they have to say, but there's something good about healthy, honest conversation. Maybe you need to open yourself up to some new ideas through some new reading or get an audio book or, hey, here's something for you. Start looking at the TED Talks. They're phenomenal. You don't even have to read. New levels, new ideas, new things everywhere. You can watch them in 15-minute little blocks. And so we all, if we're going to move towards this idea of efficiency, proficiency, and health, we need to cultivate our stimuli. And the last one is this, to leverage your hours. Leverage your hours. The end of the day, where we put our time determines our success or our failure. Now listen on this one as we close. Many of us default to an efficiency mode with their time rather than an effectiveness mode. Here's the difference. Efficiency mode makes us feel productive when we dive into that task list and we're checking everything off, right? But I think we need to leverage our hours and focus less on our to-do list and more on our to-be list. Because here's what I know, is that ultimately God is more interested in what we're becoming than what we're doing. And so maybe we need to look at this a little differently, and we need to leverage our hours to put into our to-be list and not to our to-do list. I'm not saying we don't work hard and that, you know, we just kind of slack off around the office and boss comes in, you get that report list. Nope, but my to-be list is thriving. That's not what we're saying, right? But when is the last time you blocked off time just for yourself? Think on that. The last time, on purpose, not that you had to drive to Walgreens in the middle of the night to get diapers because you realized you were out. When was the last time you blocked off time just for you and for the health of you? To pursue your curiosities, to develop skills, or just sit and think and process or pray. When was the last time? And I will bet you the majority can't even remember. You have no idea. because our default mode is on efficiency, getting things done, continuing to check things off the list. But maybe we need to start looking at this idea of not just getting stuff done, but looking at who we're becoming. Joseph Campbell wrote a book called Sacred Space, and he says all of us need to block out time and have sacred space where nothing is happening. So maybe we need to start thinking in terms of, not just in terms of efficiency, but in terms of effectiveness. And so who is God trying to create you to be? Because at the end of all of this, and James says in chapter 4 that life is a vapor, here and then vanishes. At the end of all of this, my to-do checklist is going to mean very little when I stand before the boss in my life review. So there's four areas I think that we can cultivate to be in alignment where God is leading us and how he's wired us. He's wired us for rhythm, for ebb and to flow. If we want to be effective, and God has wired us to be efficient, proficient, and healthy, we need to be purposeful in cultivating our land to reap a better harvest. So what does focus look like for you? Maybe it starts with a prayer every morning. God, what is my focus? God, what am I about? What is my life ultimately about? And how I don't want to just move in this direction and be involved in everything, but miss my focus and your energy. Look at your priorities and your projects and your commitment and your upcoming calendar and say, what do I need to say no to right now? What is good, but maybe not today? It's a someday maybe list and your stimuli. Maybe you need to start filling your head with new ideas. Maybe you need to get around people that will challenge you. Maybe you need to distance yourself from people who are constantly pulling you down. Maybe for your hours, you need to not default to efficiency, but default to effectiveness. So just join me as we're going to just take a moment just in silence. And God, I would ask that you would speak to us in those four areas. Wayne, if you could put up that last list with all four of them. Just as you look at those, would you just spend a moment in seeking your next step? What does that look like for you? What does that equation look like? Lord, don't let us walk out of here doing the same stuff. Don't let us leave here being mediocre in some areas of life because we've failed to be proactive. So speak to us about sharpening our focus, managing our energy, cultivating our stimuli, and leveraging our hours. Lord, I pray that we would be great representatives of our Savior Jesus at our workplace, at our homes, and our schools. I pray that you would direct and speak to us regarding our focus and our energy. And would you help us to get in this healthy rhythm that we might be sustainable into the future. And so we invite you to move and to change us and to speak to us. And if God has placed something on your heart and your mind, as I was speaking, you just felt like, yeah, that's it. My encouragement to you is that you tackle it starting today. Don't wait till tomorrow or next week. Come up with a plan today. And so, Lord, as we move from here, I pray the Holy Spirit upon us, you would bless us in every area of life. Especially would you bless us with the nearness of your presence, Lord. Would you show yourself to us repeatedly in our day-to-day lives? Would we be aware of the presence of God that's close to us at all moments? And would your face shine upon us? And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Hope to see you back next week. If you'd like prayer, come on down. Or if you're a guest, I'd love to meet you. All right, guys, I'll see you next week. Bless you.